Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
That's one bit of good news. We don't have to worry about the polar bear population. A couple of them just wandered right into the studio here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, there's no global warming because winter has hit the East Coast again. Look, everybody, it's Freya. It's our first day on the TV, on Free Speech TV. I am deathly ill. Can you hear it? I've been up all night with the flu. But Fred and Max are here. Max is
Freya?
Okay. Yeah, Freya? Exactly. All right. It is the Stephanie Miller Show, barely. Up all night with the flu. You know what it is?
What?
I think I'm sickened, Jim, by the fact that Liz Cheney is pulling out of the Senate race.
Aww.
But she's still in the NAFTA race.
There is that.
Wow. That was our very first Nazi reference on Facebook.
How about that?
Everybody. Welcome.
Did you get that, Newsbusters? Now that they can see us.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, so you will see that Fred literally will want to be petted the entire time.
Yes.
By one of us.
And I stupidly wore black pants again. So, yeah.
All right. Well, anyway.
Is that how you pet a dog?
Yeah. It's amazing that he does not like get your force field, that you're the non-dog lover.
Hi.
Yeah, listen, when Animal Planet calls, you will turn right around, mister. All right, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Can you see, you know what the other thing I think? Is he drooled on your lap already?
Yes.
Here's what else made me sick. Do you watch Homeland? I binge-watched Homeland.
I don't.
I watched it a few times.
Yeah. I watched all the way to the end. I can't give away anything. I'm very emotionally overwrought by the conclusion of Homeland. I won't say anything about Brody. I'm just saying I'm a little overwrought this morning.
Right. That happened a while ago, didn't it?
Probably. I just got to it now.
Okay.
But for whatever reason.
I just watched the last season of Bewitched.
Yes. I've been up all night with flu, as I mentioned. Also, one of our cameras is not working.
Right, good.
So we have no overview camera.
All right.
And also, Jim, we are lacking an oral exciter.
Sorry, what?
I've learned more about tech stuff since we started doing this TV show again than... Right?
I don't even know what an oral exciter. Do we need to go to the pleasure chest to get it?
No, it's oral, as in
oral.
Well, right. It's a lot less fun than what I was envisioning.
Right. Because if you were listening on Thursday and Friday, Natan, our videographer for Free Speech TV, is ruining everything with the stupid noisy machine over there.
Thanks, Natan.
I'm putting it out like the Flintstones cat later. We actually are. We're making a hole through that wall and putting that thing out there. Anyway, so we're still tweaking, as they say, technically.
Yes, but it is sounding a lot better than it did on Thursday.
Really?
I must say.
Sounds a little crappy in my headphones, but that could be because I've been up all night with the flu.
And you requested that we add an extra amp to your headphones in order to make you hear your headphones better. So
every time you turn your head.
So I actually listened in your headphones and they're a little crackly because they're up so high.
Oh, yeah. It's the way, working as a sound guy for The Who for so many years may have not been a wise
remember
choice.
Remember I did that bit about Pete Townsend going deaf?
Yes.
Yeah.
Who?
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Hey, we have a regular big-time show today. We got Rude Pundit coming up at the bottom of the hour. Yep. Eric Bollert from Media Matters and former Minnesota Vikings punter Chris Cluey on the big show, who says he was fired by a bigot and two cowards.
Yeah.
Great piece he wrote.
For Deadspin.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So we will talk to Chris about all of that.
I guess they weren't even bigots. They were just littlets. Up to being a bigot.
Small-minded littlets.
Yeah.
So we will talk to Chris about that. Okay. So, kids, thanks so much for all the... Everybody's very excited. Today's our first day on TV. They did not expect me to sound like crap like this, but I will try not to pass out.
Thank you.
And Jim will attempt to pet Fred the entire three hours.
Thank you for keeping Fred away from...
Have you noticed? He's like needier than I am. He's my dog because literally, if you take your attention off of him for one fraction of a second,
right?
Yeah. And for some reason, it's like an infrared ball detector. He's always like pretty much. Crazy.
Hey, what's going on down there? What is that?
How about I take care of you and Jim takes care of Fred?
Okay.
Let's make that.
As long as someone's touching him, everything's fine.
Do you want me to touch you?
Yes. All right. Listen, I'm going to get an oral exciter. I do not need you.
Okay.
Something that's going to make this all sound better anyway, because it's the new... Oh, this is Mama's house, everybody, by the way.
Yeah.
This is the new home studio. You can tell by the Goldwater Miller memorabilia mm-hmm. on the walls. This is my actual office.
That's right.
So here we are. All right. Damien in Johnstown, Pennsylvania.
Johnstown, yes.
Right. Welcome back, guys. So happy you're back on the TV. I've grown to love your happy, smiling faces and wicked, awesome dance moves when you're on the current TV. We might have to work our way back up to the dancing. Mom is a little...
A little rusty?
Mom is a little... just not firing on all cylinders today. But you know who is? Audra in Minneapolis, who has sent her normal, overwrought Welcome Back to TV song. Here she is.
Come on, Mama. Come on, Billy. Come on, Pidgey. It's time to eat. Here, kitty, kitty, kitty.
I woke up this morning like every other day. I fed all my cats, turned on the radio to start my day, and dreamed of that sweet time not so long ago, when I could watch Step in the Moves on the TV.
I can see the pictures.
I see Steph, Jim, and Chris, and Travis on TV. Don't forget Max and Fred.
Woo!
Yeah, you're in the
song. Thank you, Audra. That was incredibly overwrought. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I think we're gonna. You know what? I'm guessing we're getting a new sponsor for some sort of dog dental care. Because look at Fred's teeth.
Yeah.
They are so pretty.
White as the hair on my pants.
By the way, Thursday and Friday I did the ceremonial lint rolling Jim's crotch, which I will do again.
Okay. Looking forward to that. Is that the oral stimulator you're talking about?
Yes. Oral exciter.
Exciter. That was it. Yeah. Yes.
Oh, also, Natal, we're missing some video thing, too.
What video thing?
Some other piece of equipment that we need.
Are we on?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
We're just,
what
know,
are we missing?
We're kind of like right now, we're just like starting out. We have like a with a supermarket cart with a wobbly wheel.
Right. We're missing some video cassettes. We need them.
Right. We, listen,
this
is a lot.
Beta.
This is a lot
it's
of
the
doing.
Wave of the future.
A lot of doing in 3 weeks.
Yeah. Exactly. Over the holidays.
Yes. And thanks to Craig and Tony for getting it all up and running, and for Natan to getting, for getting it all up and running.
Exactly. The radio and TV studio in 3 weeks over the holidays. So there. So take that. All right. Golly, what happened with Liz Cheney? She's so pleasant. She's why? Why drop out of the Senate race? You're so popular.
I think I read somewhere that she said it's because of a family illness or something, which I think is total BS.
Rocky Mountain Mike
I think her sister threatened to punch her. And
you think so?
Yeah, that was the family illness.
Yeah.
Okay. I believe Carlos tells Rocky last time he was here implied that Dick Cheney was going to take his daughters on a hunting trip. Do you know what I'm saying? The implication being that he would shoot his gay daughter so his straight daughter could be a senator. But I don't
he had the gun cocked.
I don't have any information that was the reason. We're just saying. It's the Cheneys. Rocky Mountain Mike says, Liz Cheney is dropping out of the Wyoming race to spend more time eating the brains of homeless people with her family.
All right.
That seems reasonable.
We don't have any confirmation on that either. What we're just saying, it's the Cheneys.
It's the Cheneys.
They're so warm. Oh, speaking of Rocky Mountain Mike, why everybody sent a little ditty, a little jingle for our first day back on the TV.
Yeah.
Here on Free Speech TV.
Stephanie Miller, video star. She's in her house. Don't go too far. She brought a baby to a bar.
Stephanie Miller, video star. Thank you, Rocky Mountain Mike. That was lovely. Oh, by the way, New Year, Republicans, still mean. Still cutting off unemployment benefits.
Yeah.
The president talked about that yesterday.
Republicans should make it their New Year's resolution to do the right thing and restore this vital economic security.
President Obama, he was on his Hawaiian vacation. Mm-hmm. He insisted on Saturday that lawmakers make restoring unemployment benefits while 1.3 million Americans are out of work their first order of business in the new year. I'm sure they'll get right on that.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
He said the program helped parents trying to feed children while they look for work, and denying families that security is just plain cruel. We're a better country than that. We don't abandon our fellow Americans when times get tough. We keep the faith with them until they start that new job. Senator Harry Reid on this subject.
The vast majority of American people believe that unemployment benefits should be extended. Never with unemployment like this have we ever even considered not extending them.
Oh, you know our friend Dean Obladi?
Obladawa?
Right.
Yes.
Right. He wrote a piece, because you know I like my news happy clappy,
right,
about how 2014 could be the best year ever for President Obama. But a lot of those issues, like minimum wage, immigration reform, people are on his side on these issues. So I'm excited. The minute I get rid of this flu and I get over my whole homeland depression.
Yeah.
And I lint roll Jim's crotch, I will feel much, much better.
I'm sure you will.
All right. Wow. I think I may pass out in hour one today. All right. 17 minutes after the hour, we're rolling along. We're doing the best we can with this jalopy. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
See, now everyone knows that Max is the most handsome romantic man in the world. Okay, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Happy New Year from the new home studio.
Hey, pet
your
me.
Show's going to sound like crap because they keep moving my arm while I'm sliding things
hey,
up and down.
Hey, come on,
no,
pet me.
Not, that's not what I'm concerned about.
Come on, pet me. What are you doing? Stop pressing buttons. Pet me.
All right. 1-800-STEPH-12.
I speak Fred.
1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. We're going to have a family squabble, aren't we, every day over dogs in or out of the studio. People want to see Max and Fred.
I'm sure they do.
Okay.
But they also want to hear a well-run show.
1-800-STEPH. Really? Why start now? 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Why, looky who's here from Ohio, everybody.
From Ohio, it's the John and Pam Show. It's the John and Pam, John and Pam, John and Pam Show.
Good morning, John and Pam Show.
Good morning, Mama, and welcome back.
Thank you.
Good morning, baby girl. Oh, my God, you don't know how long it's been since we've seen you talk to you. We can't even get you over here in this old hole in Ohio.
Right.
Yep, I am so glad you're back on TV, honey. And you know what?
What?
I just love you. I still love you as much as I did. And Jim and Chris. And now we get to see your baby, too.
Right?
Yes.
Right? Was I kidding about the handsome and romantic part?
Oh, my God. I could just suck that face right off.
Right?
You know what? He is such a baby doll. Now, are you going to get to bring Max on, too?
Yeah, Max
he's
already on.
The floor.
Yeah, yeah, Max is he's doing an impression of the East Coast now.
Yeah.
He's just a frozen tundra.
He's going to freeze his little natties off. I'm telling you, we're losing it. We're cold here.
Yeah, what is going on? We're going to talk to Eric Bollard about, because it's, you know, it's herp derp season on Fox News. Yeah. It's winter.
It's winter. It's
winter,
cold.
No,
so let's not global warming. Die.
Yeah, we're going to freeze all. Well, you know what, though. But, honey, we're not going to take up too much time.
All right, honey.
And I took the phone away from John because I just had to talk to you,
all right,
sweetheart. You're
all
still
right,
my
sweetie.
Baby.
I love you.
And we love you guys, and we miss you, and we're so glad you're back because we're
going to
watch you every day.
Thank you, honey. Hi, John.
She said hi.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
All right. Now it's a show.
So adorable.
Now it's a show.
I miss them.
All right. Now, you know, I forgot to ask them. I think we should have bought stock in Roku.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of people are purchasing them.
I know. I'm getting one.
You called me, when was it? Over the weekend at some point. Yes.
Right?
saying, what should I get? Should I get an Apple TV or a Roku?
Yes, exactly.
Get a Roku.
Roku, because you can get free speech TV. And, yep. Let's see, Joe says, Roku's awesome. My roommate and I dumped our cable carrier in Madison.
Mm-hmm.
We added Netflix, Hulu, Vudu, Amazon Prime, and a dozen others. I'm just hoping this is a trend away from the vice grip held by the broadcast monopolies in all these decades. Go Roku.
Yeah, I should get my mama Roku so she can watch us.
Exactly. Yeah. It's a little. It's a $50 box.
Yep. Did you get one or no?
No, I'm going to get one, though.
Okay. $50 box? Wow, that's a bargain.
Right? I'm just saying, you know, that's a deal, right?
Sure.
Okay. At any rate, but no, it's cool. You don't have to. So you don't have to have what do you call it, DirecTV or Dish or where you know some other places that it, what do you call it that carries free speech. If you get the Roku, it's only $50.
Yes,
one time thing.
Yep.
Wow.
And you just add the free speech TV channel to your Roku box, and you can tune in at any time.
Right to your $50 box.
That's right.
Okie dokie. Oh, by the way, yeah, a lot of people are commenting on the, you know, the new home studio here. Mm-hmm. Loving it. How, Julie in Seattle, though, with a cautionary tale, you were saying that I am snacking a lot more.
You are.
Now that we're doing the show from home, and right, because I just...
Just go upstairs to your raid the fridge every break.
Right, and so anyway, Julie says, just remember what happened at the Chinese hostess job. That's true, remember?
Yeah.
When I was a waitress at Fung Lum at Universal Studios, out of frustration, I ate like my weight in goldfish crackers every night, and I split my, I don't know, polyester kimono open.
It's not a kimono. It's a Chinese restaurant.
No, you know what, though? It was a kimono.
It
they
was.
Just didn't know what they were doing.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah. They just, we weren't as culturally sensitive back
Asian
in the 70s.
Stuff. You know, whatever.
Just put it on and shut up.
Was this before or after you cleaned planes?
Let me just say, even pre-goldfish crackers, that thing did not look good on me. The polyester kimono. Woo! All right.
That's only a look that certain people can pull off.
It's like, what did the Lululemon CEO say? Yeah, you know what? Our clothes, not for fatties. Okay. What did I say? What? Yeah, it's not for everybody type. Oh, and he said he named the company because he liked to watch the Japanese and Chinese have to say it.
Yep.
So he got fire. What's the word I'm looking for? Fire. He named it Lululemon Athletica, which I would prefer to hear Tom Brokaw have to say.
Lululemon Athletica.
Or Kim Jong-il.
Kim Jong-il.
No, Kim Jong-il say the name of the company.
Right. No,
oh.
Okay. All right.
Watch out. I'll feed you to the dogs.
By the way, so that story was bogus. Did you hear that?
Really?
Oh. Yeah.
The that he fed his uncle to the 120 dogs. They think that was a bogus story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But why did NBC News report it as fact?
I don't know.
They heard it through the grapevine.
Yeah. Ah. Okay. Spike writes, dear staff, looking forward to seeing you in the MOOCs Monday on my 24-inch LCD computer screen on Free Speech TV. Oh, does Free Speech TV have an on-demand option? He wants to know. I am 57, need my beauty sleep. Well, yeah, so do I.
I don't know.
Am I getting it? No.
Natan, do you know?
Right, well, you can always DVR things, right?
Well, if you have Dish and DirecTV, and if you have a DVR.
All right. I don't need an alarm clock. My Scottish Terrier, Lady Macbeth, scratches at the side of the bed until she hears your voice.
And Lady Macbeth.
And then she gets up on my bed, lies down, and stares at the computer till the show is over.
Oh, hi, Lady Macbeth.
I bet you know what I bet she's thinking right now?
What?
That Max and Fred are really handsome and romantic. That's what she's thinking.
Oh, I like those doggies. Get me those doggies.
Exactly. Exactly. Oh, by the way, so we were talking about unemployment benefits during the in the last break. So Rand Paul, here he is again.
I'm not against having unemployment insurance. I do think, though, that the longer you have it, that it does provide some disincentive to work, and that there are many studies that indicate this. So what I've been saying all along, we have to figure out how to create jobs and keep people from becoming long-term unemployed. That's why I promoted the economic freedom zones, which would dramatically lower taxes in areas where there's long-term unemployment.
That was Jack Kemp's deal.
Oh, economic freedom zones.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, doesn't that
That'll fix it.
Doesn't that sound magical? Okay. 29 minutes
Jack
after
Kemp
the hour.
Jack Kemp said, you're stealing my act!
29 minutes after the hour. Rude Pundit next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Baba. It's Lipa.
You know, if you Google the phrase Class A moron, my name pops up first now, so step aside.
Stephanie Miller.
You thoughtless little pig.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll-free from anywhere. Eric Bullard from Media Matters coming up top of the hour, and then former Minnesota Vikings punter and dreamboat Chris Pooh coming up on the big show.
I hear he's a sparkle pony.
Yes, yes, and not a lustful. Never mind. All right, let's talk to his rude
pundit. Lee Papa, the rude pundit. Pundit.
Good morning, your rudeness.
Good morning.
How are you enjoying your frozen tundra back there in New York?
Oh, well, today it's 50-something degrees and everything's melting, and then tonight it's going to be 10 degrees.
Oh, you know, ice skating.
Oh.
Whether or not you have skates.
Really, at this point, I think at this point my testicles don't know whether to go up or down.
And I have more than my usual concern for your testicles.
Thank you.
Yeah, now that you bring
that up. What's going on there? It sounds like Chris is like yelling from the hallway.
Yeah, we're still working on that.
We have some technical issues we're sorting through, Brood.
Oh, okay, sorry. Yeah. I thought you'd, like, exiled him.
For example, there's not enough room for soundproofing because of the gigantic Goldwater Miller sign.
Yeah.
We have soundproofing.
A little.
All right. All right, Rudeness, you wrote about legalized pot in Colorado. You said what legalized pot in Colorado teaches us about the implementation of Obamacare. What is that, sir?
Well, it just is that when, after they legalized recreational marijuana in Colorado, the forces that were opposed to it decided, okay, well, it's legal now, let's make this work as well as we can. And so law enforcement and others got involved. You know, they were able to license more places to meet a demand. They brought in armed security. There was a discussion of whether it should be armed security at some dispensaries. Right. And so they all sort of worked together to make sure it worked because it was the law.
Right.
And instead of everybody just acting like D-bags about it and trying to throw their bodies in the way and block its implementation.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's what we were saying, is that's the way things used to be. When you lost an election, you lost, and then or you lost a vote, and then you move on, right?
Right, right. You go, okay, it's the law, let's see if we can, if nothing else, you can approach it like, all right, well, let's try to mitigate the damage by, you know, by doing some of the things in here that we think will make it work better.
Right.
If you're on the opposing side.
Well, a little cautionary tale at the end of your piece, though. You do say the whole thing could go crazy. Colorado could become a stoner's hellscape of abandoned children, stores bereft of Cheetos, and slow car accidents. But probably not.
Right, right. You never know. You never know what happens as people drift wearily into snowbanks and sit there and wonder what happened. But that's if you really get the good stuff.
It's like the steamroller in A Fish Called Wanda. Ah!
Exactly.
Stolen by Mike Myers.
Right, right. Yeah, but so far so good in Colorado, right? Very orderly.
I mean, the lines have been very orderly. There haven't been any incidents, you know. There haven't been any... Because they're stoners. This is not meth. I love the idea that they thought there might be fights that would need armed guards. This is pothead. This is not bath salts.
This is not the face-eating drug.
Right, right. Nobody's going to have to, you know, worry about Walter White henchmen gunning them down.
Right.
So,
right.
It'll be fine.
You know, I always like to start by focusing on things we agree on instead of the things that we don't.
Yes.
Well, the film Love Actually, really? That is one of my favorite films.
Really?
Yes. It's kind of a chick film, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess you could say if you're a brain damaged chick, I mean.
Oh! How dare you, sir? Anyway, you wrote something very rude about what it would take for you to actually watch that film, Love Actually.
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, Andrew Lincoln is in it, and you know, he has the most romantic part because at the end he has to tell his best friend's girlfriend, you know, with signs outside, you know, which is bad because then they sold her husband into slavery for 12 years. But he's the star of 12 years.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yes.
Yeah. Anyway.
Anyway, so I said if he shows up as, if Andrew Lincoln were to show up as Rick Grimes and just start gunning everybody
from
down.
From The Walking Dead, yeah.
Right. Yeah, right. Yeah. From The Walking Dead, gunning everybody down thinking they were zombies. When they were just being, you know, reticent British people about their emotions and not, you know, devoid of them.
Let's keep up a lip and all that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. Rather,
right.
As you do. Yes, and adorably stumbly over the words. And yes.
I can't tell you how many times I've had people tell me, you have to watch Love Actually.
I love it. It's my favorite holiday
movie.
It's
Tom Brokaw's favorite movie. Love Actually.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Die Hard's my favorite holiday movie.
That's right.
You're such a dude. All right, and then, of course, the other thing we disagree on, I loved Washington Post columnist Ruth Marcus's column on Edward Snowden. I agreed with her that he has a messianic sense of self-importance. He is insufferable, smug, self-righteous, egotistical, disingenuous, megalomaniacal, and
overbought. Well, I agree with the New York Times editorial board about Snowden.
All right, well.
Actually, I agree with both. I agree that he's a smug a-hole, but he's also right.
Yeah, exactly. You could be both.
And isn't that really the point? Yeah. Is that he could be, you know, the worst human being and,
do the right thing.
Yeah.
Still do the right thing, yeah.
I still don't think it's up to him, and I think that he did great damage to national security as well.
No, I don't think he did at all.
Okay. All right. Well, if Jim says so, then never mind.
Jim, by the way,
will believe anything anyone says about Fukushima. Just saying. Not that it's not horrible.
Well, you know what? If I was living out there on the West Coast with all of the radioactive stuff coming up on my Pacific shores, I might be a little worried.
Yeah. I'm going to get a radiation monitor, I think.
Really?
Just hang out on the
beach. Is that like a Geiger counter?
Instead of being an old guy with a metal detector out there.
Exactly.
You'll be there in your Bermuda shorts checking out what's glowing.
Exactly. Exactly. So we have not had a chance to talk about Duck Dynasty, had we?
No, I don't think we did.
Yeah, so the suspension is over, of course. Thank God for that, right?
Right. Of course, you know, because we need to make sure that the patriarch of the Duck Dynasty family gets to be, I don't care. Jeez. I mean, the worst part of this whole thing is that now I know the name of the father of the Duck Dynasty.
Yeah.
Yes, yes, exactly. Well, you sign up for your, what do you call them, your super duper prayer missives, right? From
Right.
Right. What is that, the American Family something?
No, the American Family Association, yeah.
Right.
That's the Family Research Council. That sends me to the super prayer thing, yeah.
Right, because they had some thoughts. Americans have turned against God. Could you take your organ out?
Absolutely.
Thanks. And we have Glee to blame, is what.
Right.
Really?
Right.
Glee turned people against God?
Uh-huh.
I don't know. Every time I turned on Glee, I was like, oh, God, is it Glee?
That's just in. America's turned against God, according to the boy.
Peter Lombardi.
No, you gotta sound like Tony Robertson. Tony Perkins, you know, really, really quick for...
Which one?
No, this one, Peter LaBarbera of Americans for Truth About Homosexuality.
Porno Pete is what they call him on Twitter.
Right. he took to the American Family Association's radio show. That is some scintillating programming there.
Oh, yeah.
To defend Duck Dynasty star Phil Robertson and complain about shows like Glee. He said, look at where we are now. You have programs like Glee where you have young men with romantic kisses on TV. I just learned the Rose Bowl parade is going to have a homosexual so-called marriage float. All those little kids are going to be seeing two men or two women or whatever it is getting married, so-called, and it's going to infect their minds and corrupt those young
minds. That hurts so much when he calls it so-called marriage. He's doing so much damage by calling it so-called marriage.
And the kids say, okay, whatever.
Yeah, I think parade floats the number one danger to our children. Rude, I think we can all agree on that.
Yeah, and you know, considering the number of couples I know that have stayed together for the kids, I think we can put so-called marriage on another level here.
And I love the implication that not every parade float is gay, which they pretty much are.
Yeah,
aren't
right,
they?
Right. The whole concept is gay.
The concept of floats is gay.
Wasn't there a float for, you know, women who fought in World War II or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
Like, no, that was a gay parade float too. You know?
Exactly. Exactly. Well, Rosie the Riveter, whatever that.
The ferry pilots.
Oh.
Ferry spelled F-E-R-1.
Exactly.
Right. It's a whole different, of course.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right. It's the Rose Parade. It's, you know, I'm not going to stereotype here, but...
It's pretty much the gayest thing on New Year's Day.
Yes.
And that's saying something.
To be gayer than football, you got to be really gay.
Just call it New Year's gay. Just get it over with.
All right. Rudeness. Delightful rude stuff as usual. And we will see you next week, my friend.
All right. Happy New Year.
All right. Happy New Year. There you go. Christine in Cleveland real quick before we go to break. Hello, Christine.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Nice to see you guys.
You too.
Yes. I turned on early about 8:55 Eastern Standard Time.
Yes.
And saluted Colorado to prepare for your show.
What?
Bowl of popcorn and creme brulee decaf, and I'm ready to go, y'all.
Wow. Oh, awesome. You got your munchies and you're sitting back watching. Okay.
Absolutely. I'm so glad to be back. It's lovely to see all of you lovely folks.
All right. Thank you.
And Fred and Max, my granddaughter is the envious.
I know. Well, we got to wait till we get our overview, our aerial camera on Max when that gets fixed.
Yes. Yes. My granddaughter is a beautiful Dobie.
Oh,
with floppy ears.
Your granddaughter.
Gorgeous.
Okay, fabulous. All right. Thank you, Christine.
Happy New Year.
Thank you. All right. No, thank you.
We can get like a little drone flying up here.
I think so.
Taking pictures of Max
stuff.
And Fred. Yeah.
Right, because Max is laying. How much of the office? He takes up almost half the office, doesn't he?
Yeah. Much.
Exactly.
Well, he could be the soundproofing.
Exactly. I got to get some more Great Pyrenees. All right. 45 minutes after the hour. Eric Bowler coming up at the top of the hour. We roll along on the Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie. Do I have pea soup on my face?
No.
Okay. It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
What, you just go all exorcist on us?
Yes. That's what last night was like. I have a horrible flu. I can't
believe. Your mother so sucks that smell.
Sakes.
Were you barking last night?
I thought I was going to. I did not.
Okay.
But I was up coughing and, the achy, that whole commercial.
This is Tom Rock, I formerly remember Steve Island News. Listener Tom Kessel from Columbus
right.
claims that Stephanie Miller has been replaced by Rola Olenska.
Really? Okay. Thank you. Thanks for that, Tom.
That helps.
Yeah, I took the, what's that stuff?
Theraflu?
Theraflu, yes.
That's awful. You know, they make different flavors.
Really?
Some of the other flavors are pretty good. The original Theraflu is kind of like...
I'll be going directly to the pharmacy.
It's,
really?
Stay away from the barf flavor.
The ass flavor?
Yeah, Theraflu, yeah.
Hello. I would like some ass flavor Theraflu, please.
It's all ass flavored.
Yeah, the last time I was at my doctor, I remember he said, did you get a flu shot? I was like, no, whatever. Medical school flu shot.
One time I got a flu shot, I got the flu.
Yeah, exactly. I was scared of it. Now see what happens? My first damn free speech TV look at me. Been up all night.
But you look gorgeous.
Thank you. All right.
That's my job. I'm supposed to take care of you.
All right. Thank God I have Obamacare. That's all I need to say. All right. So Brian Kilmeade and Steve Ducey?
Yeah.
He is the Ducey-er of the two Ducey's, as you know.
Yes.
Right. On the Affordable Care Act.
A lot of people think having a baby is tough.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's harder. Under Obamacare, getting that baby insured.
With the Affordable Care Act, apparently, there's no part of the system where you can add coverage for a baby or other major life changes. So
what?
You might have a new dependent who's dependent on you and dependent on health care, but right now you can't put them in.
No, a-hole. You get yourself covered first, then you call your insurance company and then get your dependents covered.
But you can't.
That's what you do on normal insurance.
You can't do it automatically. You press the button, so it's a failure.
You know, they're muddying the waters when they know better.
I know.
That is shoddy journalism.
It's not journalism at all.
Yeah, I know.
That's so cute. Like, you just discovered that on Fox News.
No, it just pisses me off that people call them news.
Yeah. Well, this is, they're taking a break from their usual, look, it is snowing in the winter on the East Coast. And so there is no global warming. We will talk to Eric Baldwin about that, because that's the season every year that happens.
Yep.
Okay. Representative Peter King. He's talking about...
I was drunk.
Are you sick, too?
Well...
You were sick and drunk.
Oops.
Okay.
Jim?
I'm
watching Free Speech TV.
Okay, let's switch to...
Mitt Romney.
Is that his normal porn?
Are you watching us? I was trying to.
That is like the height of narcissism.
Really?
No, no. Couldn't see us.
All right. You look good, Tim. You look really great. Yeah. Okay. Mitt Romney again. Why are we asking him?
He was on Fox News Sunday as a special guest and blah, blah, blah.
This is at the heart of the president's deception and dishonesty with regards to Obamacare. And that is, he told people, you can keep the insurance you have if you like.
Ooh,
and
yeah,
that was
news.
Not honest. That was deceptive. And the American people recognize that, and they're rejecting Obamacare.
No, they're not.
No.
You're several news cycles behind.
Can't we enact some sort of, you lost the election, shut your pie hole kind of law?
Please proceed, Governor.
They had him on to ask about the Melissa Harris-Perry whole
I see.
Thing.
Right.
Yes, and he said, you know what, she apologized. It was a great apology, and let's move on.
Right.
So, of course, Fox News needed something to fill.
Right.
And so they asked him about
the
Obamacare.
Baby, that in case you haven't noticed.
Yeah.
In case you haven't noticed, he's black.
By the way, in other shut your pie hole, you lost the election news.
Yes.
Did you see John McCain think he's what, like shadow president or shadow secretary of state or what? So John Kerry's over there meeting with Netanyahu.
Right.
So of course John McCain's there too.
Why?
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has grave doubts about elements of the Israeli-Palestinian peace plan being pressed by Secretary of State John Kerry, since U.S. Senator John McCain. He spoke to reporters in Jerusalem following the meeting with Netanyahu. Is it me, or does he go to every country to second-guess the president or John Kerry what they're doing? He literally is like, oh, well, that's not going to work. That will be the Netanyahu. And how
listen
does
to
he...
those clowns. Listen to me.
And how do you get to the right of Netanyahu? What has happened on Israel? I'm just saying, it just seems like the Republicans in this country have gotten to... you know who I met recently?
Who?
Head of the Democratic Jewish Council. We're going to have him on the show because we had a great conversation about Israel and about how did, like I was saying, a lot of Republicans in this country get literally to the right of Netanyahu.
It's hard to do.
Max... standing up and shaking behind me, in case you're wondering.
To the left of you. Physically and politically.
I thought that was a little bit of an earthquake. All right. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Mittens with some more.
Mm-hmm.
On the...
Well, it's not just that the president tells people that they have to buy health insurance. It's that he tells them what health insurance they have to buy. The idea that the government knows better than the American people what kind of insurance they
it's
have
your
to
plan,
have makes
moron.
No sense. And it's something which I think the American people are rejecting in large numbers. And I think it's going to hurt the president and hurt the country and a lot of families.
What?
People don't want to be told what type of insurance they have to have.
You're offered a choice when you go to Obamacare.
He's not telling you what kind of insurance. It really is incredible that he's still trying to keep up with this, that this is not exactly based on Romney Care. Okay.
Oh, no, it's completely different.
Right, because he did this with his hands. Okay, one more time.
You have a lot of people who are going to find their premiums going through the roof. They're going to find that the doctor they've had, they can't keep. They're going to find that the policies they were promised they could have, they're not going to be able to keep. And the American people are going to be very, very upset about that and should be upset about it. And not only is the Obamacare hurting families one by one, with regards to their own coverage, it's also continuing to delay the recovery of the economy.
And that's why no one can afford a car garage with an elevator. It's all Obama's fault.
Exactly.
If I were president, everyone would have a car elevator.
Yeah. I think that was the subtext pretty much of all that whole thing, right? See? You should have voted for me. See?
He's the most bitter man on earth.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Lots more to get to this morning. I was talking about that I met Mark Kelly.
Yes.
And Gabby Giffords over the vacation. Mm-hmm. And he's going to come on the show.
Mm-hmm.
I thanked him for the great work they're doing on sensible gun control. Like, for instance, did you see this headline? Criminally insane Florida man found in a van with 36 guns, 4,629 rounds of ammunition.
And what did he have in mind?
A Florida man who had been previously declared criminally insane was arrested last week when he was stopped in a van with an arsenal including dozens of weapons and thousands of rounds of ammunition. So, that happened.
Yeah.
Saying, and it happens every day. And we're, the only, and that's the one part about Obamacare that people, I think, do not even stress enough, is mental health. That it is getting people mental health care, which is one of, you know, the people that claim that's the only problem, it's not guns, it's only mental health, they're also against Obamacare. All right, 58 minutes after the hour, Eric Bollert from Media Matters joins us next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, and I could not feel better having been up with the flu all night long. Here's the update, though. Jim has finished the crossword puzzles, so that's good news.
Yes. So now what I'm going to do for the next 2 hours.
Yes, we're still having a lot of technical, I don't know, pay attention.
Sorry, what?
What? Yeah, we are having technical difficulties. Oh, we don't have our oral exciter yet.
Right.
Right, and then one of our cameras is broken, the Max aerial shot, so you can see Max, my dog right here. Who's laying at my feet. Aww. All right. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. We're trying to soldier on the best we can, what with Liz Cheney dropping out of the Senate race and all.
Oh, God, that's such a loss.
Right.
But she's still part of the master race.
All right, Jen. That's okay. You know what will make us all feel better?
What?
Eric Bollert. Eric Bollert from Media Matters for America, doing the Lord's work as usual.
Eric Bollert. Eric Bollert.
Let's dive into the right-wing world.
I don't know what that means.
Eric Bollert from Media Matters, whom we love.
Bollert.
Good morning, Eric Bollert.
Good morning.
You know, your pretty face is missed on Free Speech TV, because I have seen you on a TV show or two.
Yeah, well, yeah, there was lots of news there late in the year.
Yeah. Well, we've been talking about this all morning, but I just love that when it becomes the season on Fox News. You say, funny, when people were walking around New York City on December 22nd in 72-degree weather, Fox News didn't think that told us anything about climate change. It's interesting they didn't mention that.
Yeah, no, Chris Hayes came up with a pretty good phrase, no trolling.
Yeah.
which is this annual event, and now it's getting a big push because, you know, obviously this historic cold wave. Cold snap. So every year, you know, it's been like 10 years. You know,
right.
When it's winter out, therefore there's no global warming, there's no climate change, because winter proves that there's still cold air and therefore.
Right.
But, you know, my point was, if you're going to do like selective anecdotal, you know, try to prove a massive global change based on selective anecdotal evidence, as I pointed out, you know, December 22nd in New York, it was 73 degrees. You know, Augusta, Jacksonville, Norfolk, they set record highs for the
right.
entire month of December, and they've been keeping records since the 1870s. So, yeah.
Yes, but it's snowing now, so that invalidates everything. Yeah.
So, yeah, in late December, there was an extreme heat wave up and down the East Coast, but it didn't really get much attention because, you know, it doesn't fit into the
Yeah, I don't know about you, but the jokes are always hilarious.
Oh,
I guess they get new joke writers every year for the snowing in it.
Why is it a heat wave and a cold snap? They both sound kind of gay. Hey, two snaps up in the circle.
Jam.
Two cold snaps in the circle. Yeah, I loved your tweet. You said it's like trying to reason with a seventh grader. Dear Donald Trump, winter does not disprove global warming.
Yeah, and you know, the bigger problem with all this is, you know, it makes it hard to have, you know, a serious or even moderately informative conversation about a pressing issue, a pressing public policy issue. You know, I don't think there are other sort of first world European countries, Asian countries that are trying to grapple with a serious issue like climate change and have to deal with such a well-orchestrated, deep-pocketed, funded misinformation machine like a Fox News and the entire right-wing media. So either, you know, they're dumb enough they actually think this stuff, or they're willing to get paid just to sort of be doped on TV. But they know what they're doing, and they make it harder to have a conversation about a very important issue. And that is really, you know, other than laughing at them and pointing out that they do sound like sixth graders, you know, the real damage done is it makes it hard to have a public conversation about, like I said,
right,
important public policy issue. And they do it on purpose, and they know that, and that's the whole point.
Right. By the way, loved your piece on Benghazi because, you know, and you wondered how this was going to play out when the New York Times wrote this piece, but it's almost predictable, right? You say with their conspiratorial knee-jerk claim that the New York Times' lengthy investigation into the Benghazi terror attack of 2012 was really an elaborate effort to aid Hillary Clinton, if she runs for president in 3 years, to clear the deck, as Chris Wallace put it. Right-wing journalists seem to have mistaken the newspaper record for one of their own conservative, quote-unquote, news outlets. It's the right-wing media, not the Times, that has a record of peddling purposeful misinformation for purely political reasons. I guess that says it all, doesn't it?
A bit of projection going on there. Wait, if we don't like, you know, the outcome of a year-long investigation of the Times, and if we're Fox News, we just assume they do things for political reasons like we do. That's what we do. And I point to a couple examples, you know, during the recent campaign. You know, we had right-wing columnists saying, Romney in a landslide. Romney's going to win. And then afterwards they admit, well, I knew he wasn't going to win, but I wanted to help him. You know,
yeah.
So that's how they view their job. And so when they get all angry and frustrated at the New York Times for debunking yet again their Benghazi myth, they assume that everyone just sort of makes stuff up. Journalists are in the business to be sort of advisors to politicians, and journalists are in the business to try to push a political movement, but that's not how journalism has ever worked.
Right.
It's sort of
Fox News people.
Prop newsganda.
Exactly. Well, I mean, you're obviously referring to David Kirkpatrick's Times series. You say, undercut a number of favorite right-wing Benghazi talking points, among them that an anti-Islamic YouTube video played no role in motivating the terror attacks. I mean, it is almost exactly what Susan Rice said, right?
Yeah, and as I pointed out, you know, there's a long list of Republican men who owe Susan Rice a long apology.
Yeah.
Of course, you'll never get him.
Yeah.
You know, this was an unprecedented preemptive smear campaign to make sure, you know, this distinguished public servant would not be nominated for a cabinet position. We've never seen anything like that. It was disgraceful then, and even more disgraceful now. Also more disgraceful now, Laura Logan's 16th district court on Benghazi.
Yikes.
Remember, you know, their initial fallback position was, oh, she worked on it for a year. It's totally fine. Her entire piece, up and down the line, was about Al-Qaeda at Benghazi. And the New York Times comes forward and says, oh, by the way, Al-Qaeda wasn't involved. So everything she got wrong in her year-long reporting, from her bogus witness to the Al-Qaeda link, was wrong.
But, you know, Eric, I was talking about this last week, that it is unbelievable, isn't it, when you talk about the Daryl Issas of the world?
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw Meet the Press, but you think, okay, this is pretty much completely debunked, this whole, you know, circus show he's had going about Benghazi. I mean, it, like you say, it's a long piece. The main conclusion, it was not Al-Qaeda. And the video did have something to do with it, just as they said. And I don't know if you saw Daryl Issa, but they just continued to deny it, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, he's doubled down. Oh, you know, the Times piece is wrong. And, you know, in terms of the Times piece, this was not like some exoneration for the White House and the State Department. They did everything right. It wasn't. They confirmed what has been confirmed many times. There was a security failure. There was not enough intelligence. That's what the Independent Review Board found. That's what everyone has basically come to the conclusion. And if this was if we were living in normal times, that is how these sort of controversies or tragedies unfold. There's oversight. Blame is assessed. The government then tries to fix the problems going forward, and everyone moves forward. What is unprecedented here is the Republican Party just absolutely refuses to move forward. They cling to their own parallel universe conspiracy theories. And then we have, back to the Fox News and the New York Times, they you know, they just sort of make up this conspiracy, this vast left-wing conspiracy. No reporting, no insight, no, you know, they have no sources at the time. They have no sources. They have no sources anywhere outside of Sixth Avenue at Fox News.
Yeah, I love your line. You said the fact that the Times never mentioned Hillary Clinton in its Benghazi report simply confirms the report was all about Hillary Clinton.
Yeah. Obviously.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anywhere at Fox News you can spell ambiguity, let alone use it in a sentence.
Yeah.
I mean, and that really does highlight, you know, the paranoia that drives all of this. Every fact simply proves your point. This report is all about Hillary. The fact that she's not mentioned proves my point. I mean, what more proof do you need than the fact that Hillary isn't mentioned in the piece to prove it? I mean, this is just paranoia to the 10th degree. Every fact.
Who told you that?
To your point. This is Alex Jones territory here.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I assume you're dealing with the loss of Liz Cheney's Senate run with the grace that I would expect of you.
Was she really down 30 points in the
I think so.
Yeah, she was.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, the grassroots Republican Party contempt for the Tea Party is really knows no bounds at this point. And as I tweeted earlier this morning, if we had a high-profile progressive candidate crash and burn the way Liz Cheney just crashed and burned, we would have a week's worth of Beltway obits about the death of liberalism in America. But she's, you know, she's supposed to be this Tea Party candidate in the reddest state in America.
Yep.
She's trailing by 30 points. Goes nowhere, and I don't think we're going to really see much from the press
about
what this says about the Tea Party in America, what it says about conservative, right-wing conservative, the appeal of, you know, far-right conservatism, even in places like Wyoming.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, and I love, you know, what it says, I think, about gay rights in this country and marriage equality. I mean, I feel like people know what it's, you know, it doesn't matter what side of the aisle you're on, you know what it looks like to be a jerk to someone in your own family.
Yeah, no, she really, I don't think she ever got over that, and I love the irony. I mean, what could be better than the issue of gay marriage, thinking Liz Cheney in Wyoming?
Yeah. By the way, Eric, before you go, I of course you tweeted about the president's approval rating being up, and it is amazing how they just never cover that. It's always doom and gloom, Obama's done. Storylines we've been hearing all year, right?
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, that fluctuates all the time, and Gallup goes up and down. But my point was, you know, it had gone up 5 points in a week. I don't pretend that that's the definitive statement on his popularity. But I'm telling you, over the break, it had gone down 5 points in a week. It would have been sort of, you know, it would have been Katie bar the door. And as I also pointed last night on Twitter, you know, the stock market has absolutely skyrocketed under Obama.
Yeah.
Urban crime in America in the last 5 years has plunged under Obama. But for the Beltway Press, those aren't really stories. None of those things concern Obama, whereas previous presidents were basking if those things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know what it is?
All news is bad news for Obama.
I have no, like, flinch mechanism left anymore after all the, you know, the crisis stories about Obama's presidency. I was like, okay. Right?
Yeah, no, they're sticking to that narrative, and incredibly, they've gone, you know, they've basically written them off with 2.5-3 years to go. So that's what they have to stick with, and that's why they look away, you know, when the economy starts to rebound, stock market.
Look away, look away.
Yeah.
It doesn't fit the narrative. And they, what is amazing is they've gone in on this narrative so far in advance that it'll be interesting to see if they're able to make.
Yep, absolutely. Eric, great stuff as always. We will talk to you next week.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Mimi.
Human Doppler effect.
He seems to enjoy it in the moment.
Yes.
But he just cannot wait to get away from me. All right. 19...
Does that happen often with you, Stephanie?
Yes.
Aw.
Yes.
Bless your heart.
19 minutes. I do feel good.
Aw.
Maybe he didn't want to get the flu cooties from you.
Exactly.
That's
19
why.
Minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Not sure I'm all that jiggy this morning.
No?
I don't know. Just, Stephanie, certainly not.
I am getting sicker by the moment.
Getting sicky with it.
Decidedly not jiggy.
1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Help, Mommy.
Help, Mommy.
Call Mama. Okay. we have Minnesota Vikings, former Minnesota Viking punter Chris Kluge coming up at the top of the hour. So there's something to live for.
Yeah.
We're just trying to soldier on, Jim, with the what with the loss of Liz Cheney as a Senate candidate and all. Her statement reads, as a mother and a patriot.
Oh, God. Really?
Now I'm feeling sick again. I know the work of defending freedom and protecting liberty.
Jeez. Come on.
Must continue for each generation. Though this campaign stops today, my commitment to keep fighting with you and your families for the... Oh, fighting with my family.
Yeah.
In particular, especially my big Les sister.
Yeah.
For the fundamental values that have made this nation and Wyoming great will never stop. How quick do you think she's going to move the hell out of Wyoming?
Oh, God, yeah.
Are you kidding me?
All right, the U-Haul's
her,
already...
Her carpet bags are already packed.
The fundamental values, blah, 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 blah. I'm out of here.
I always cared so much about Wyoming and blah, blah, blah. I bet she's already bought a house back in Virginia, don't you think?
Oh, she never sold the old one. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
She put it into some kind of fancy...
She probably started the fire with her fake fishing license last night. I need some kindling for this to get this fire going.
I blame Billy Joel.
I do, too. He started it.
So I've heard.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Whenever we lose one comedy fodder, another one comes in. Steven Seagal, considering an Arizona governor run?
Yeah.
Oh, great.
Really? Right. Okay, then.
Except his moves are a little more like... ow.
He's a little...
tired. I can sit down.
He's a little winded these days. He's got a little puffy, hasn't he?
He's gotten really puffy.
Yeah.
Well, he's like 72.
Yeah. How'd you do that? How'd you slow down the nunch?
Okay. I'm still going to try to hit you.
All right. Mike in West Virginia, you're on... Hi, Mike. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Welcome back, Mama.
Thank you, baby.
It's such a banner day in our household. We actually upgraded our DirecTV, and I actually wrote the CEO of DirecTV a really nasty email.
Really?
Why?
They lied to us for so long. We fight because we live out the sticks. But I just wanted to say about the Republicans, I think there's something interesting dynamic because they've lied and projected and lied and projected and denied so much that when they're presented with a fact or some kind of empirical evidence, they freak out.
Yeah.
They just absolutely, I don't understand. They're telling you the truth. I'm so scared. And it's just, it goes on and on and on and on. I really wish someone would just tell Mitt Romney to shut up.
All right.
I'm sure Ann does.
Thank you so much. Stop it. Welcome back. We love you.
All right. Thank you, baby. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
Stop it.
Stop
it.
This is hard. You want to try it? Get in the ring. This is hard.
How much you want to bet it's like, she's like one of those lines from Death Becomes Her, just because you stop breathing. She's not breathing like
this
that,
is
please.
Hard.
Nose whistle.
Could you just not breathe?
Getting in your car without an elevator. That's hard.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say I think that they probably have not had sex since... you remember when he said that at one point, he said, oh, we don't send Ann out that much because, you know, a little bit goes a long way. Do you remember he said that?
I don't remember. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Woo, a little goes a long way with that, biatch. Tell me about it. Wow. She's just so special. We just like to use her in small doses because it's too much. It's too much. A lot of her.
We have several children, so.
And he's going to be trapped on his own planet with her for all eternity.
Ooh.
Oh, yikes. That's right. Oh.
And the special underwear.
That's right.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, she's so warm.
Do they have car elevators on that planet?
She was
I'm
rude.
Sure on his planet, yeah.
By the way, she was rude enough to Robin Roberts, wasn't she? Imagine if she'd known that she was a gay.
Oh, I know. Gay L?
Yes. This is hard. This is hard. It's even harder.
Because you remember every time she talked to a black anchor, it looked like a scene from The Help during the campaigns. Yes. You people.
Uh-huh. Yeah, have some pie.
Gotten everything you're going to get from us, you people.
Get a little uppity.
Yeah. Remember?
Have some blueberry pie.
You don't understand. There was a Negro in the White House using the same bathroom as everyone else. Oh, fuck.
Don't talk about Al Roker that way.
29 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
That brought us some dame.
You all know
Stephanie Miller.
Oh, yeah, man.
We made sweet music in the band room, poetry during English class, and you don't want to know what we did in the multi-purpose room.
Anyone like a ball? Balls, anyone?
Ooh, no, thanks. No, no.
I have some melon balls.
I got mine in my own.
Fine. Okay, fine. All right. It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 34 minutes after the hour.
Besides, you've been breathing on them, so.
I know. I am deathly ill. Wasn't that really good luck for our first day on Free Speech TV? I am having a hard time staying upright, but I am here, damn it. I am here. Okay. And we have Chris Cluey coming up at the top of the hour.
Yeah.
Very, very exciting. By the way, Audra in Minneapolis, even though I'm sick and we do not have our oral exciter yet.
Right.
And various other that camera's broken. We don't have an overview camera.
You're pointing at a camera that's not
right.
pointed at you.
Right.
that
I'm just giving people a general idea where it's supposed to be. And then there's some other thing we need. Did you see that whole email chain yesterday? Something else. Some other TV thing. We're missing something.
Oh, okay.
Right. Anyway, we're getting it up and running. And Audra in Minneapolis is fired up, so that's all that matters.
Don't worry, sexy liberals. Mama and the Mooks are coming back to the TV machine in 2014. And it has a lot to do with people like you. Coming together, supporting the liberal voice in America. Time to get fired up for 2014.
My cats are fired up, too.
Awesome.
Happy holidays.
Wow. It's just precious.
Yeah.
By the way, Jim's cat got in a fight last night.
Oh, no.
No, not last night. It was couple days ago.
Yeah.
And so he had a big gash on his nose.
Oh, no.
Get him stitches and shots. And, that was about $680. And
yikes.
He ran out at the door this morning as I was trying to leave. And I hurt my knee chasing after him. So hopefully Janice is able to.
You're lovely. Oh, I'd forgotten her actual name. Janice. That's right. Janice.
Is she watching you on Roku?
No.
Oh.
She didn't have one.
No. All right. Media brings us the story. You know Aaron Schock, that the Republican. He's a very, very anti-gay Republican.
Very anti-gay.
Yeah.
Voted against the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
You know what else is really anti-gay? Marcus Bachman.
Yeah.
And Larry Craig.
Yeah. Funny that. Funny that. I don't know what you're implying, but a certain journalist is not implying that.
Aaron Schock's Instagram is the gayest thing on the internet. saying something.
Yeah, that's what this journalist says. Illinois Republican Congressman Aaron Schock has long been the subject of gay rumors.
Shocking.
Right, and has categorically shot them down in the past, like probably in a Top Gun kind of way. Totally straight Top Gun volleyball scene kind of way.
Sure, volleyball, yeah.
Right. But they came back in a big way Saturday when a journalist, Itay Hodd, okay,
yeah.
Posted a lengthy Facebook status that heavily implied that not only is Schock gay, but he knows people with firsthand knowledge of the congressman's sexuality. He writes, here's a hypothetical. What if you know a certain Republican congressman, let's just say from Illinois, is gay? And you know this because one of your friends, a journalist for a reputable network, told you in no uncertain terms that he caught that Republican congressman and his male roommate in the shower.
Oh. Oh.
Together.
Uh-huh.
Now,
dear.
They could have been just good friends trying to conserve water.
Sure.
But
I love that he gives them the benefit of the doubt.
He could be an environmentalist despite being a Republican. Let's see, but there's more. What if this congressman has also been caught by TMZ cameras trolling gay bars? Now that, what if you know that this very same guy, the darling of the GOP, has also voted against the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, opposed the repeal of DOMA, is against gay marriage, and for the federal marriage amendment, which would add language to the Constitution banning gay marriage, would likely strike down every gay rights law and ordinance in the country. And are we still not allowed to out him?
Well, he might just be doing research at the gay bars.
Right.
See
sure.
how evil it is.
Right, and then as you mentioned, Chris, the link at the end of the Facebook page is to a slideshow of Schock's gayest Instagram posts.
Yes, yes. And
Are some gayer than others?
Well, yes. And before he locked down his Instagram account, his most favorited, like, the account that he put the most likes on pictures,
right,
was some kind of gay porn actress Instagram feed.
Oh, huh. Really?
Yeah.
I'm sure that's a coincidence.
Sure. Yeah.
He has better abs than Paul Ryan, doesn't he?
He certainly does.
That's not saying much.
Everybody. Jim has better abs.
not anymore. But, 10 years ago, maybe. But,
Okay. All right. Thomas Friedman had a good piece, I thought, in the New York Times. I wonder if 2014 there's going to chance that they'll actually, what's the word I'm looking for, govern.
Yeah.
Govern in Washington. He said compromise, not a four-letter word. And he makes some really good points. He says, especially in Congress, especially among Tea Party types, where calling someone a deal maker is the ultimate put-down. Indeed, in Silicon Valley, a collaborator means someone with whom you're building something great. In D.C., it means someone committing political treason by working with the other party. That is why Silicon Valley is now the turbo engine of our economy, and D.C. is the dead hand.
Mm-hmm.
And that is absolutely right. Although, we were saying, Jim, there seems to be some rumblings that the boner may be willing to make a deal on immigration reform.
Hmm.
You know, what with his little tizzy fit against the Tea Party, and then he hired John McCain's immigration advisor.
Yes, you know, McCain Kennedy.
Right. Or maybe he's just liquored up. What did I say?
What? Oh, no.
All right. Peter King, though, of course, compromised to Republican means Democrats need to compromise, mean to come closer to them.
There has to be some compromise coming from the Democrats. I don't want to have this permanent state of unemployment insurance where we end up like Europe.
What? Oh, for God's sakes.
You know, there are different countries in Europe. They have different policies. They have one currency, but...
Right. By the way, what was I going to say about the... speaking of it, not just minimum wage is another. I think another thing that really is going to be a subject that the president, first of all, the vast majority of people are for it. And what was it? You know, it's always that it's a job killer thing. That's what they always job killer.
Right.
It's a job killer. Where is it? Australia. They have $17 an hour minimum wage.
Yeah.
And they have like 5.something% unemployment. So it's just that none of their arguments, in my opinion, hold water.
Well, unfortunately, Germany is in an austerity kind of spiral right now. They're having the same problems we are with infrastructure.
Yeah.
But that's why they need to get the SPD back in.
And Germany is actually kind of famous for their infrastructure, and it's falling apart.
Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, Dean Obladi, our good friend.
Obladi.
Because, I like my happy clappy news. Six reasons this could be Obama's best year as president. And he cites some of the stuff we were just talking about. He said, with the economy improving and Obamacare working, the president has a lot to be optimistic about. Obama is done. He's a lame duck. It's over for the president. These are the type of comments we saw in the media as 2013 came to a close. I sometimes am surprised his approval rating isn't lower with the constant drumbeat of negativity in the media. Six reasons to 2014 could be Obama's finest. Number one, the economy is improving. Obamacare will get better. Obamacare will soon be judged on its actual merits. Oh, eek. Rather than not the website issues or on the constant Republican fear-mongering about the law's uncertainties. Obama has key issues on his side, like I was just saying. We expect him to see him push hard on an issue like immigration reform and raising the minimum wage. Both of these have broad public support. Then again, so did gun control.
Yeah.
But... Republican number four, the Republican Party has no ideas. Number five, political fortunes change fast. I mean, they trumpeted this last poll showing, Republicans were a little bit ahead and generically. But anyway, and then number six, he says 2016 was so bad for Obama, he can only go up. Well, again, according to the media, I guess, because... it's another like doom and gloom story for the president today.
Hey, and going back to what you said, you're surprised his numbers aren't lower. I think it's a Bill Clinton syndrome. You know, there was a constant drumbeat against Bill Clinton during the Monica Lewinsky thing, but his poll numbers kept going up.
Right.
I think it's the same thing. People can see right through the media narrative.
Yeah. Well, there's only one thing to do now, Jim. BJ.
Sorry, what?
Pardon me. I just want to see if you're paying attention.
His 50th birthday present to Michelle Obama was leaving her alone in Hawaii by herself.
Really?
Yeah. Oh. Did you see that?
Trouble in Paradise?
Interesting. I don't think there's Trouble in Paradise. No. I just think she wanted some me time. But still.
Yes, I understand.
He's by himself in D.C.
Right. All right. 44 minutes after the hour, I have to go lay down.
Oh, God, are you okay?
Really, really sick. But I will rally for Chris Cluey from the Minnesota, well, formerly of the Minnesota Vikings, as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 49 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. So we're told that we look good on Free Speech TV.
Yeah.
I feel like crap.
But you look beauty schmo.
No. Jim said, we're in HD, so Jim's going to have to shave now.
Yeah. I can't find it, actually.
What? FreeSpeech.org. I'm watching this right now.
I'm there, and I'm just getting a commercial.
Okay.
I'm watching me right now. Hello,
yeah.
Me.
You are so self-involved. You literally said, I look good.
I look good. I look at my abs.
Wow. I am not Paul Ryan. Thank you.
All right. I mentioned Theraflu? I think you're right. I had the ass flavor.
Yeah, don't
I gotta go
ass
get,
flavor.
I got, there was only one, I only had one in my drawer, so it was just I had to have the flavor that I had, which was ass.
Ass.
Right. I'm going to go to the Rite Aid later and get
the Jenna Marble sandwich flavor.
Yeah, I'm going to get the balls flavor after.
It's been a long time since you've had balls flavor.
She's got melon balls.
Okay.
She's just having them.
1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Call mommy. Let's make sure everything was working well for the Free Speech TV.
Mm-hmm.
Let's flush out these phone lines, shall we, everybody?
Yeah.
Okay. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Oh, Cardinal Dolan of New York talking about Pope Frank, by the way, over the weekend. Pope Frank. Cardinal Dolan talking about him being a people person.
Poor people. He also loves rich people. He loves people.
He's a people person, Pope Frank.
Is he?
He said he loves poor people and rich people.
Yeah, Cardinal Dolan, during that whole interview, just had an air of apologizing for what the Pope was saying.
Yeah.
It didn't seem like he agreed with the Pope.
Yeah.
Well, he said church doctrine is still solid despite what he might be saying.
Right. Yeah, he's doing this thing. This guy, this guy over here.
What does the Pope have to say about it?
Screw him. I love that every Pope up until now has been infallible.
Right.
Not this guy.
Yeah, this guy's infallible.
Yappity yappity yappity. Poor people. Blah blah
whatever.
Blah.
Whatever. Jesus hated poor people. Slackers.
All right. Speaking of religion, we were talking about Mitt Romney was awfully chatty over the weekend.
Yeah.
Right, he was back
Please
on his,
proceed, Governor.
His magical tour. Thank you, Rocky Mountain Mike. Very, very nice. Jim, U.S. Court is going to allow more phone snooping.
Great.
The FISA court renewed the authority of an intelligence agency to collect data on millions of Americans' telephone calls. The court allowed the intelligence community to collect metadata from the famous metadata from telephone companies. The authority was renewed for 3 months, so that's going to be controversial.
3 months? Just 3 months?
I guess. Yeah, I guess.
Well, we're just piecing together this government month by month, aren't we?
Well, I mean, I think they're, you know, the president has talked about making FISA less of a rubber stamp, et cetera. By the way, I really liked, unlike Rude Pundit, I really liked Ruth Marcus's piece on Edward Snowden, and I agreed. Oh, my God, did you just see that eye roll he did? He just, biggest eye roll.
Jim?
Yes.
Yes.
My God. You know, Jim, I've read a relationship book recently that says that's the biggest predicator of a broken marriage is when you eye roll.
Really? Right.
See? See? All I'm saying is because what he was talking about, how he was like so happy with himself, you know, I'm just saying, I think that I don't know why you say you think he didn't damage security at all when a lot of people.
What did he do to damage security?
Because you don't know it, he didn't. Time has not deflated Edward Snowden's messianic sense of self-importance, she writes, nor has living in an actual police state given the NSA whistleblower any greater appreciation of the actual freedoms that Americans enjoy.
Well, for now.
Insufferable is the first adjective evoked by Snowden's recent interview in the Post.
It's all about personality.
Yeah. Well, but you can't help that it's like he's made himself. I mean, who elected him?
He's not winning friends.
Yeah.
With his personality.
The Snowden of the interview is seized with an infuriating certitude about the righteousness of his cause, not for Snowden any anxiety about the implications for national security of his theft of government secrets, any regrets about his violations of a duty of secrecy. For me, in terms of personal satisfaction, the mission's already accomplished. I already won. Well, isn't this a little me? Even if you agree with what he's talking about? I won by damaging national security? I don't know.
You don't win people to your side by being an a-hole.
Because remember, I didn't want to change society. I wanted to give a society a chance to determine if it should change itself. Who is this guy? Like, who elected him?
He's a little messianic complex, but...
Thank you.
But, yeah, which is not helping. Even a stopped clock is right twice a day.
Right.
Or once a day, according to
right. Yeah, but right. if a stopped clock keeps being stopped, you don't pay attention to it anymore.
She goes on to say, what gave Snowden the right to assume that responsibility? That had been my point the whole time. That whole question, who elected you, inverts the model. Snowden followed his post-interview with an overheated Christmas message that was broadcast on British television. A child born today, he warned, will never know what it means to have a private moment to themselves, an unrecorded, unanalyzed thought. Oh, come on, she writes. George Orwell himself would have told Snowden to chill. I mean, and I think the other thing with today's generation, they surrender a lot of their own privacy. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when you say an unrecorded thought, most kids are on Facebook 24/7, right? Mm-hmm. Or Instagram. Or,
yeah. By the way, we have a little bit of breaking news coming out of Utah.
Yes.
The Supreme Court has granted a stay and put gay marriage on hold in Utah.
Uh-huh.
That comes this morning. So now we have a lot of people, a lot of couples who are married in Utah and in that...
Oh, boy.
In that nebulous area. Same thing that we had in California.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and by the way, somebody was saying, I don't know what the number is, but...
Well, it was money from Utah.
No, but
pushed Prop 8.
Right. They were talking about how much money they're going to spend in Utah to try to stop gay marriage.
Utah state legislature appropriated $2 million to fight gay marriage.
Yeah. And that's, all, like as you just said, Jim, all the Mormon money that came into California to take people's rights away.
There's hardly any money left for porn in Utah.
Yeah,
now.
Right? Sue in Rockville, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Sue.
Hey, I hope you feel better, first of all.
Thank you, honey.
And congratulations to everyone. All the little kinks with, Roku is going in and out a little bit on the TV. It'll all work itself out.
All right.
Okay, so I have one suggestion and one comment.
Okay.
I think it's time to teach Max and Fred to bark and make comments on cue. And then he and Jim, it opens up a whole world of new voices you can do.
Right. I can imitate different dog breeds.
Get to work for 2014. Well, you have two good helpers there to help you along the way. And Stephanie,
yes.
Of course, as usual, you are 100% correct.
Thank you.
Love Actually is a great movie.
Right? It's my favorite holiday movie.
It's an entertaining movie. I don't know that I would call it a great movie.
Rude pundit, wrong about that, wrong about Snowden. Go ahead.
The last scene, first of all, Bill Nye alone is hilarious.
He's the guy that kept singing the song throughout the...
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
Yes.
He's great
and
in everything.
You look at how they pulled all the stories together, and just, you know, at the end of the day...
I thought
day,
Altman did
you know,
that better, though.
Who?
Robert Altman did movies like that better.
You know, okay, listen, we're not talking Robert Altman here.
Okay.
but is a wonderful movie that celebrates love and family. I'm sorry. At the end of the day, I want to be more positive and happy clappy. Right, Steph?
I agree with you, except that I believe that At the End of the Day was retired at the end of 2013.
Oh, I apologize profusely.
And you're no longer allowed to use that douchey phrase.
Altman is German for old man. Ever again.
All right, thank you. I appreciate it. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
All right, 58 minutes after the hour. Chris Cluey, formerly of the Minnesota Vikings, next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the...
Not really.
No, not really. I've been up all night with the flu for my first day of television again. Hello, free speech TV world. I feel like crap. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. We were getting some of the technical... By the way, everyone apparently in the country now is a sound engineer.
Yeah.
We got it. We're on it. There's a bunch of technical things that you're still working the bugs out, but we will get through it. All right. So anyone that's listened to the show or watched the show knows that I love me some Chris Cluey, and I'm so glad he wrote this piece. I was an NFL player until I was fired by two cowards and a bigot for his outspoken support of marriage equality. Chris joins us now. Hi, Chris. Good morning.
Good morning. How's it going?
Well, I'm sick, but you being on the show has suddenly made me feel better.
Well, that's good to hear.
Well, you know, I'm glad you wrote this because I think that, you know, anybody with common sense knows that clearly your outspokenness on gay rights had to have something to do with this because, you know, honestly, you had the best stats in Vikings history, didn't you, as a punter?
Yeah, I held almost every single team record for punting. And like I said, one of the reasons, you know, I wrote it was that I had no idea that this was coming, that I was going to get fired. You know, as far as I knew, this was some momentary unpleasantness that, okay, yeah, this sucks, but it'll pass, and then, you know, we'll go on with our careers next year. And,
right.
Then they drafted a punter when they had other positions of need still available to be filled. And I was like, well, you know, that's right. better start writing it down now.
Right. And, you know, I thought you were very circumspect when it first happened. You know, you said, well, I don't know. I'm not in all these meetings. But I'm glad that you wrote this whole story down so we could, because, I mean, this is pretty horrible, particularly. And you said that you wrote it so that this one coach hopefully doesn't coach again.
Yeah, and the, you know, when I was first doing interviews and stuff, I knew this was a story that I wanted to tell at some point, which was why I was very careful with my words. You know, I wanted to be honest and truthful, and, you know, like I said, I really don't know what is said in those meetings. You know, I don't know what the justifications are. All I can do is lay out my experiences and say, this is the logical conclusion that I drew from it, you know, and I invite people to make their own conclusions. And in the case of Mike Prefer, he's a very good special teams coach. However, you can be very good at your job and also hold some pretty reprehensible views. So the thing is, coaches are teachers. Coaches are role models, and I don't think those are views that should be tough to teach.
Well, this is pretty shocking, the one story. And this guy's name is what now? I'm sorry.
Prefer?
Right, yeah. Right. But, I mean, you got to tell this story about the one team meeting is really... Really quite shocking.
Yeah, it was unfortunate that it was getting kind of late in the season. It was in November, and that's kind of the point where the dates start blurring together, and you know, everyone's kind of like, oh, we've been here forever. It's kind of like cabin season almost in a sense. You're in Florida every day. And so me and some teammates, you know, we were walking into a meeting, and we were joking about a recent piece I had written, and you know, because we're teammates, that's what we do, we joke around.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden...
Locker room talk.
Right, yeah. Exactly. And my preacher, you know, he says, hey, you know, I think we should round up all the gays, put them on an island, and leak it until it glows. And the tone of his voice when he said it was like, it was period. I mean, it was flat, and he meant it. And I was just, at that moment, I was like, wait a minute, there's something more here, because the room got kind of that, you know that silence you get when someone has said something, and then all of a sudden you can't even hear people moving in their chairs because no one wants to draw attention to themselves.
Yeah.
Like, to me, that was just like, okay, yeah, that was something that just happened.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, you sort of go, like, really day by day here. You talk about on September 8th, Coach Frazier told me you need to be quiet, stop speaking out on this stuff. And you said you just told him I thought it was the right thing to do. I mean, it's sort of amazing that, you know, apparently because you're a football player, you don't have the First Amendment rights anymore.
Yeah, well, and the thing is that, you know, the team as a private corporation, you know, they're well within their rights to ask me not to speak out or to fire me if I do, but I'm also within my rights to relate my experiences and say that the kind of society we want to live in. You know, do we want to live in a civilization where if people speak out in favor for other groups, you know, rights to benefits are being denied, that's the society we want to live in. We're doing that gets you better from the job.
Yeah, well, I mean, look at, you know, you look at the Olympics in Russia, and again, like, what an elegant statement, first of all, right, that the president and vice president are not going for the first time ever, and they're sending a whole gay delegation of athletes.
Right, exactly. And again, and, you know, let's be honest here. You know, we in the U.S. are making relatively good progress, you know, but there is still a lot of work to be done. And you look at other countries, and it's just like, I mean, it's horrendous, the human rights abuses that happen. And,
right.
You know, the Olympics are an excellent case in point, especially because the Olympic Charter says these Olympics should not be happening in Russia because of these human rights violations.
Right. But, you know, Chris, I guess my point goes to the, you know, the whole point of your piece is that we're saying that's not who we are as a country. And and that's why in this day and age, I mean, your story is really still pretty shocking. And I actually love the part you said, one of the owners of the team, came and shook your hand and said, Chris, I'm proud of what you've done. Please feel free to keep speaking out. I just came from my son's best friend's wedding to his partner in New York, and it was one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen. And yet. Yeah, and yet, as you say, this special teams coordinator, right, Mike Prefer is his name,
yes,
would use homophobic language in your presence, right?
Yeah, and that's kind of, a disconnect there where the owner of the Vikings, very, very hands-off owner, you know, he's very much a guy who's going to hire the people who he thinks are appropriate to the job and then stand back and let them work. You know, he's not a Jerry Jones or a Daniel Snyder. One of the guys getting their hands in it.
It's interesting, by the way, that, you know, he didn't want to hear about your viewpoints, and you say that he said on multiple occasions that you would burn in hell with the gays, and the only truth was Jesus Christ and the Bible. How is that appropriate in a workplace necessarily? What if that doesn't happen to be your belief?
Yeah, and that's why I made sure to put it on those ones that, for those, I don't know if he was serious or not. I mean, obviously, I didn't agree with the message, but at the same time, it is a locker room. You know, there is grouping of guys that goes on. And you know what? I'm okay with that. I can, you know, speak out on that. I can be like, okay, you know, if you want to rip me on that, then yeah, I'll be like, well, you know what? Maybe gay people should be treated like normal people. You know, maybe we're all citizens of the United States. But like I said, when it got to the tone of that other statement, that was deadly serious. And then that's when I was like, okay, you know, maybe what does that mean for the other stuff that was said before? You know, was that just ribbing, or was there an undercurrent of truth?
Right. Well, and let's talk of the football part, because, you know, there's also a part of this that, you know, because they obviously put out a statement saying, no, it was just football performance, you know, had nothing to do with, you know, your stance on gay rights. But you point out that you've been repeatedly instructed by Mike Prefer to dial back the distance of your kicks to give your coverage team a better chance of getting down the field. So to be a team player, you did that a lot, right?
Yeah, and that's the thing, actually, that was surprising to me, was that I had no inkling that the Vikings were going to cut me, because as far as I knew, I had been doing my job exactly the same way that I'd been doing my job for the previous 7 years. And my stats will back me up on that. And again, you know, there's witnesses to that as well, that be like, yeah, you know, Chris was instructed that, hey, this is his job. He's supposed to punt it 45 yards outside the numbers, higher and shorter, and that's what he did. And so, all of a sudden, the job that I was doing that was perfectly capable for the past 7 years now doesn't work anymore.
Right.
Like, well, what changed? There's only one thing that changed.
Right, right. Well, I mean, that's what I mean. It sort of defies logic. I mean, and you write in here, it's clear to me no matter how much I want to prove I can play, I can no longer punt in the NFL, especially now that I've written this account, whether it's my age, my minimum veteran salary, my habit of speaking my mind, or most likely a combination of all three, my time as a football player is done. And that's got to be really sad for somebody that showed the courage that you did and, you know, dedication to this game for so many years.
Yeah, it sucks. Put it bluntly, but you know, at the same time, that is the reality of the NFL. Is that coaches and administrators, you know, they don't want anyone talking about their team unless it's they won a game. I mean, it's very much a corporate mindset of we want you to eat, sleep, breathe football from the moment you wake until the moment you go to sleep, and hopefully you're dreaming about your playbook.
Yeah,
and it's you know, and we have to ask ourselves, you know, is that what we want from our sports environment? Is that what we want from our societal environment? You know, do we want to be defined by our job? Is that the limit of who we are as people?
You make a larger point at the end, because you say some will ask if the NFL has a problem with institutionalized homophobia. I don't think it does, you say. I think there are homophobic people in the NFL in all positions, but that's true for society as well, and those people eventually get replaced. All we can do is try to expose the behavior when we see it and call them to account for their actions. And I think that's what you're doing. What has the reaction been to your piece, would you say?
It's been very positive so far. I've gotten a lot of positive messages on Twitter and social media and, you know, texts and phone calls and emails and stuff. But I've gotten some negative messages too, but, you know, that's the nature of the internet, especially on social media.
Yes.
I'm no stranger to that.
And,
I think it's heartening that, you know, people are having this conversation and that they understand it. Yeah, there is still progress to be made. I mean, we are making progress, but we can't just say, oh, we're done. We don't have to do anything anymore, because this is something that we'll have to continue working at for quite a long time.
Yeah, yeah. Do you, Chris, do you have regret for it being as outspoken as you were?
No, not at all. I mean, the way I look at it is, I got 8 years in the NFL. That's 8 years more than 99.9% of the population will ever get.
Yeah.
I've been very, very fortunate that way. And, you know, I think hopefully this is something that people can look at and say, you know, maybe I can say something.
Yeah.
Maybe I can point something out.
Well, you know, I would say one case in point that really irks me is that you look at Penn State and what happened there. You know what I mean? And that's a culture that, you know, that they had to cover that up at all cost, you know, to preserve the football program, what was happening there. And, you know, you can't speak out about, you know, healthy adult gay people in relationships.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's well, and again, this hopefully highlights that to some people who may not have thought about this that way, and helps them realize that, yeah, football is a big business. It's good entertainment. You know, people enjoy watching it. But at the same time, our societal values, you know, what do we want those to say? We value our entertainment more than doing the right thing. You know, we value our pursuit of money more than treating people with basic human dignity.
Yep. All I know is every time I talk to you, I go from gay to a little tiny bit questioning.
Oh, you'll probably have to fight my wife.
True.
Yes, bring it on. Bring it on. Chris, once again, thank you for your courage, and thank you for speaking out and telling that whole story. I just think it's really important. It says a lot to the, you know, the 15-year-old that wants to kill himself somewhere because, you know, he thinks he's never going to be able to have a career and a life and be with the person they love. And, that you got to remember that's – it's just so important. I mean, I think you literally have probably saved lives. So thank you.
Well, thank you for having me on. And yeah, that's one of the things where it's like, you know, when you ask me, you know, do you have regrets? And I think about the stories I have heard from people, you know, who have said that, hey, you've given me hope to go on. And, you know, I thought things were bad, but now I think it's, you know, I think it's better. And to me, that's worth any amount of playing in the NFL. I mean, that's making a difference on something like that.
Yeah, well, I bet you are on to your next big adventure because you're too smart not to be. And thank you so much, as always, for taking time for us.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Chris. There he goes. There he goes. Chris Cluey, former Minnesota Vikings punter. Hot.
Yeah,
19 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Yeah, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Dan in Minneapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Dan.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
First time calling.
Oh.
Cluey's a hero to me, but I'm really surprised that he is surprised that he was fired. Everyone knew he was going to get fired when he started speaking out, and that's why he's a hero to me. You know, I'm a Packer fan, and I hate the Vikings, but he was an awesome punter. I respected the hell out of him before. But now he's a hero, and I'm just surprised that he didn't know he was going to be fired.
Well, we certainly, Dan, have made record progress on gay rights.
Hallelujah.
Right. But, I mean, you
Hallelujah.
Know, and even a lot
Freedom.
Of the, you know, athletes that have come out, I mean, I think that...
They're all, the ones in the NBA, Collins is out of a job, the guy on the Ravens is out of a job.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, Collins was already retired, wasn't he, Jason Collins?
Sort of, just on the cusp.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
He's not playing. He'd be playing if someone would hire him.
Well, you know, it is. I mean, I think there are those bastions that are still obviously more prone to homophobia. Look at our friend Shelley Wright, you know, the official country star of the Stephanie Miller Show. I mean, country music is still a tough bastion to come out in.
Yeah, well, it's certainly the case in the NFL. No one else is coming out.
Right. Except that,
need I
Dan point out once again that football, the gayest sport ever.
Yeah. How about those black tights on the Saints?
Just the butt padding alone.
Well, also, any sport which requires you to reach between a man's legs and grab a ball, that's there's something.
Right away. Just totally gay. And you guys love each other, worked together for years. I've never, ever seen you pat each other's butt.
No.
Say good job.
No.
You know what, Jim? Good job on that bit.
Patted your butt. I mean, how can you not?
Well, she demands it.
It's spectacular.
That's how the sexual harassment goes around here. You're fired if you
you're
don't
touch me. You're not harassing
me
enough.
Right.
Right. Exactly. Exactly right. All right. Chris Cluey, I think he's right. He is a hero. Because if he, you know, I mean, it is still amazing that that's such a bastion of sort of macho kind of, you know, behavior that I don't think he obviously did think he was going to get fired. I thought he obviously had the best stats in Minnesota Vikings history. I think just imagine that, being good at your job. He thought that might be enough. Guess not.
Not in this country.
No, I guess not. All right. By the by, Rocky Mountain Mike, with a little salute to our first day here on the Free Speech TV. Thank you, Rocky Mountain.
Wow, just watching Max spread it on the floor. He really literally takes up the whole room.
Yes, he does.
Yep.
He was stretching. Max was stretching out.
Good.
All right. When we get our big, the
dog cam?
The sky cam. The dog cam. You'll be able to see Max.
You're going to have a little blimp flying through here.
A drone.
Yeah.
An Amazon drone. Exactly right. Well, you know my 9-year-old Republican mom in Charlotte?
Yes.
North Carolina?
Is she watching us on Free Speech TV?
Well, let's hope not. She doesn't know what I do for a living.
Okay.
Whenever I go there and I read the, what is it called, the Charlotte Observer, there are some weird right-wing wackadoodles down there that really are. Like this guy, for instance, city councilman quits his post, writes resignation letter in Klingon. Dave Waddell, plumber. City councilman, dedicated conservative. Exactly. Was fed off with all the government bureaucracy in Indian Trail, North Carolina, so he sent the mayor a letter saying he was resigning in, well, whatever you just said, Klingon.
Yeah.
That's exactly. I wasn't going to try to pronounce that, but that's exactly what he said. that part. Okay, 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller
is the ultimate cougar, but her show stirred up a lot of cougar-licious controversy.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, running on fumes. Mama has been up with flu all night long. It's our first day on Free Speech TV.
That's right. You look great.
1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. And in addition to that, I am still
drunk.
Okay. Mark in Las Vegas, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
Hey, did you get your flu shot, young lady?
I did not. My doctor asked me that last time I was in, and I was like, flu shot? Who needs a flu shot?
Well, okay, that's enough said about that. You still look lovely on TV.
Thank you. Oh, and our videographer implied that I might have swine flu, which is hopeful.
No, only conservatives can get swine flu because they're pigs.
Ah, okay. All right.
All right, well, anyway, the reason I called is that in Utah, it will fail. The attempt to repeal expanding rights for same-sex couples to get married is going to fail. So my proposition is, I wish they would spend even more money, the Mormon Church, on this, because the more money they spend on this, the less they can spend doing other things that are destructive and evil for people.
Yeah, well, I mean, they spend a lot of money out here in California to impose their beliefs on the rest of us in terms of gay bashing.
They certainly did.
All right. Kids, I forgot to mention Sexy Liberal. Right? Sexy Liberal Phoenix, Saturday, February 15th, selling out very quickly. Madison already sold out Saturday, March 29th, and Albuquerque, Saturday, May 10th, is also on its way to sell out. So go get it. Tickets to Sexy Liberal. Right? By the way, you know, one thing I need to work on is my rider, as you know, for Sexy Liberal, because I don't ask for anything backstage, and so I get nothing.
You get buckets.
I get nothing.
I'm trying my Katy Perry's demand.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yes.
That all sounds pretty good, though.
Nothing.
Wow, she is healthy.
Is she?
She, this is what she requires.
I'll say. Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
I think you know what I'm saying.
Fresh veggies at all times, that's in caps, including spinach, broccoli, celery, beets, carrots, kale, etc. Two large baskets of fruit, one must be tropical.
Tropical?
Right. Dinner must include a vegetarian option, plus quinoa or couscous.
You know what? I am absolutely stunned that you pronounce quinoa correctly.
Right? Yeah. Right?
That is my takeaway from today.
Quinoa?
Quinoa? All meals must be low-fat and health-conscious and cannot contain MSG.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if that's also at Madison Square Garden. No MSG there as well? Fresh organic grown fruit, including sliced, that's capitalized.
Must be sliced.
Pineapple, mango, kiwis, etc.
Oh.
Fresh cut crudité.
Mm-hmm.
I pronounced that right as well.
Crudites. We got some crudites?
That's a highly pronounced in the Duck Dynasty, crudites.
Boy, she must be incredibly regular. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Let's hope she has a private bathroom after this.
Well, I'm talking about roar. Yeah, you're going to hear her roar.
Also, a giant bag of a less per potato chips.
Oh, wow.
Okay, the crudité must include cucumber, broccoli, cauliflower, carrot, snap peas, and celery, plus ranch dip.
Okay.
Healthy granola.
You kind of negate all of the healthiness with the ranch dip, though.
Right.
Don't you?
Oh,
well, you don't slather it on. Like,
right.
You know, some people do, like
dried
me.
Dried figs, whole grain tortilla chips, a large bowl of hummus, and fresh-made guacamole.
Sounds good.
Hey,
I'd eat that.
Yeah, I remember I was trying to be, like, low maintenance when they asked me the first place I think we did sex, and what do you want? I'm like, oh, nothing, doesn't matter. And so literally there was nothing. No food berries, no food yeast. Nothing. I was like, nothing?
Just the wires.
There's
along
not even like, water
nothing,
backstage.
Nothing. I meant something.
Not a Twizzler? Not a...
Not even a green M&M.
They took me really seriously.
You learned your lesson.
Just a tumbleweed going by. Just, that was it.
A saloon door.
Wow. Look who's back together.
Who?
Catherine Zeta-Jones and Michael Douglas, it looks like.
Oh, good.
They they separated in August, you remember, because of the...
I'm sure no one understood what you meant by that.
No.
I'm not that cunning a linguist. I'm not. That's the problem.
Pentagon couldn't even crack that code.
No. They separated in August. They spent New Year's together. Douglas posted a picture of them and their kids skiing with the message, Happy New Year from Quebec.
Or Quebec.
Yeah. Right. They seem to have patched things up after their temporary split.
Oh, good. I'm rooting for them.
Well, right. They were seen, I guess, having lunch at the Ocean Grill, laughing, right before Christmas.
Ocean Grill in Quebec?
There's no ocean.
No, that was a different
okay,
time.
Oh, okay.
laughing. Remember that time you talked about the old...
Maybe an ocean of poutine.
It's a slow-moving ocean. Uh-oh. Oh, no. Oh, God.
Oh, no.
Hack.
Y'all might need to finish out the show for Mama. I think my mom's about shot. Okay. I did literally have pea soup here earlier, didn't I?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you went all exorcist on our ass.
I did. I have been up all night with the flu. And I don't have an oral exciter yet.
No.
Really? Mm. How can I be expected to do the show without my oral exciter?
It could cost you.
By the way, is that my LA Times?
Yes.
Oh, great. So what if I wanted to do the crossword puzzle? Well, then what would happen?
You picked that right up out of her driveway
completed my crossword puzzle. I'll be sick in bed all day with no crossword to do.
How rude.
Rude. Rude, man.
I didn't know you did a crossword puzzle.
Sick. She might want to do one today.
Well, I got a lot of time to kill between, you know, bathroom trips. Okay. Oh, so I was saying, unlike rude pundit, I actually agree with this Washington Post piece about Edward Snowden being kind of...
Well, yeah, it could be. But I still haven't heard anything that he's done that damaged national security.
Well, so no one told you directly it didn't happen?
Well, no one else has talked about it either.
Anyway, she makes a good point.
I wonder what Valerie Plame would think about that.
She says
we know what she thought about Snowden. She wrote a whole article about it, which I read on the air.
Anyway, she talked about George Orwell surely would have shown more recognition of the irony of Snowden's sojourn in Vladimir Putin's Russia. Does a man whose life is conducted so much online really believe that Putin's spies are not cyber-peering over his shoulder? And personality would not matter, at least it would not be so grating if Snowden's behavior were more upstanding and his actions were more justified. On behavior, if Snowden is such a believer in the Constitution, why didn't he stick around to test the system the Constitution created and deal with the consequences of his actions? I think that's...
Because the Constitution is dead since 9/11.
Well,
but... The Patriot Act.
I mean, it's the president said this from day one, right? He said if he believes what he did is right, then, you know, come back and
go to prison.
Well, make your case. Is Snowden's massive theft justified by the degree of governmental intrusion he unveiled? On the other, even more unknowable side of the ledger is the lasting damage to U.S. security from having its capabilities exposed for the U.S.'s enemies to see. Your assessment might be different. My scale weighs against Snowden. This is
Washington Post. There are, spy agencies around the world who are looking into all that stuff. I don't think Snowden exposed anything that they didn't already know.
Well, that's what I mean. It's just all these countries feigning outrage, and they're doing the same thing. Yet the existing oversight, while flawed, is not as feckless as Snowden portrays it, and the degree of intrusion on Americans' privacy, while troubling, is not nearly as menacing as he sees it. She concludes by saying, if the scope of Snowden's theft and subsequent disclosures has been as limited, my scale might balance in the opposite direction, but the theft was massive. The injury to intelligence gathering is of equal magnitude. That's what, people were saying about Chelsea Manning, just because it was such a huge... document dump that, how can you...
It could have been more selective.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. And less of a douche.
And there's that as well.
Douche.
I'm going to go lay down on Max and try to recover for the last segment. 43 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I love it! I don't get it, but I love it!
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
I kissed a girl and I liked it. The taste of her cherry chapstick. I kissed a girl to
don't think he does. Is cherry chapstick on the writer, too?
Yes. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Oh, everybody liked the Chris Cluey interview.
Yes.
You can listen to that again if you like, right?
Yes, via the Bits podcast that you can get at iTunes.
Right. Exactly. I knew that.
Or if you subscribe to the Stephcast, you can listen to everything.
Right. Only $4.95 a month if you buy a year in advance. Okay. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Oh, speaking of the gay, I love this headline. Village person says YMCA isn't about gays. It's probably lying.
Why did you say it's not about the gays?
Gawker brings us the story. Oh. Though it's as chic as a marching band and demands that you do that dorky dance along to it.
Everybody's grandparents do that dance.
Perhaps you are like me and find the Village People's disco anthem, YMCA, endearing anyway. A feat of subversion that is still routinely played at heterosexual pride-oriented outings, better known as sporting events.
And marriages. Wedding receptions.
Gay, gay, gay. All right. Speaking in a totally unrelated story that has nothing to do with gay, Clay Aiken. what is going on? Is Liz Cheney dropping out of the Senate race in Wyoming open some sort of weird wormhole in the universe?
I don't know.
Steven Seagal might run for governor of Arizona.
He's backed by Joe Arpaio.
Right. Well, and that's a slam dunk right there.
Wow.
Clay Aiken is thinking of running in his home state of North Carolina for Congress.
Apparently it's a really, really conservative district, though.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so it's unlikely that he win.
You think?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, and he needs to stop posing.
He might win in Asheville. But,
Maybe yes. Maybe he could be mayor of Asheville.
There you go.
That would help.
There you go.
All right. Then he could listen to us on 880 The Revolution in Asheville.
There you go. Thank you. We love you. You say you want a revolution? Yes, we do. All right. Jim, it's for you. Scott in Madison said, it's my son Will's 18th birthday today. He has the day off school due to the extreme weather in Wisconsin. A short birthday wish, if possible, from Sean Connery would make his day. His name is Will.
Yes, Will. This is Sean Connery. And I want to wish you a happy birthday. I would send you something from Q, but he's forbid me from revealing any secrets. He's good friends with Ed Snowden, however.
I see.
By the way,
speaking
of Sean Connery dragging his yam sacks through the brambles,
yeah,
this is a very disturbing piece about Cameron Diaz.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
Gawker also bringing us the news. Cameron Diaz urges women to grow a thick, thorny bramble.
Yes, I've dragged my yam sack through Cameron's brambles on many occasions.
Wow. This is, I guess, currently making the rounds on the interwebs.
Yeah.
An excerpt from the section titled, In Praise of Pubes.
Can you say that on the air?
Well, it's on the interwebs.
Natan, can she say that on Free Speech TV?
Too late now.
We got a
A thumbs up.
All right.
Okay.
Fine.
She said, I hear there's a big fad these days of young women undergoing laser hair removal on all of their lady bits.
What?
Personally, I think permanent laser hair removal sounds like a crazy idea. Forever? I know you may think you'll be wearing the same style of shoes forever and the same style of jeans forever, but you won't. The idea that...
I just picture sharks with frickin' laser beams on their heads.
Or on their pubes.
The idea that vaginas are preferable in a hairless state is a pretty recent phenomenon, and all fads change, people. She said, let's be honest, just like every other part of your body, the lower labia is not immune to gravity.
Oh, my God.
So she's saying, like, kind of as a disguise, you need that.
That's a sentence I never need to hear again.
A beard.
I thought I had enough to worry about, and now I have to worry about that.
Your labia and gravity.
Fall? Oh my God. You two maybe
Neil deGrasse Tyson might have something to say about that gravity.
Well, it's not really. First puffs of dust come out of there, then it falls.
Just when I thought things were really looking bad in my life. I've been up all night with the flu, and now I got to worry about that. I've got to worry about a drooping labia. Dear God. Thanks,
God.
Cameron. Thanks a lot for that.
Labia is actually plurable.
Plurable?
Plurable?
Right?
Is plural. So.
All right. I need some cheering up after that. Audrey in Minneapolis has given us she always gives us an overwrought welcome back from vacation.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, it's an overwrought welcome back to TV song from Audrey in Minneapolis.
Come on, Mama. Come on, Billy. Come on, Pidgey. It's time to eat. Here, kitty, kitty, kitty.
I woke up this morning like every other day. I fed all my cats, turned on the radio to start my day, and dreamed of that sweet time not so long ago, when I could watch Steph in the movies on the TV.
I can see the pictures.
I see Steph, Jim, and Chris, and Travis on TV. Don't forget my accent,
Fred. Yay!
Max, can you believe that Max is here?
He has to make an appearance before the
end of
the show.
He just talked about you on the radio.
Right.
Come here, boy dog.
He's so tired.
Come here.
Did you just say, come here, boy dog?
Yes.
Come here, boy dog. Oh, look, he's so stretchy.
Wow.
Come here.
Yes, it's Max, everybody.
Max. Okay. All right.
Hi, Max.
Max Maximus. Oh, big yawn.
Oh, yawny. He's being yawny.
Yawny?
Okay. All right. Uh-oh. I've activated the Max. Now he's going to molest Jim for the rest of the show.
And I'm going to give him the Heisman.
Yeah, you're...
Not the Heimlich, but
no,
the Heisman.
Yeah. Yes.
All right, so we were talking earlier about, you know, y'all, it's just mean to cut people's unemployment benefits, particularly over the Christmas holidays. The president talking about what the GOP New Year resolution
Republicans should make it their New Year's resolution to do the right thing and restore this vital economic security.
Yeah, what's his name? Representative Jack Kingston, who, as part of his bid for the GOP Senate nomination in Georgia, recently spoke to a Republican Party group there. Commenting on school free lunch programs, he asked, why don't you have the kids pay a dime, pay
I'm
a
sorry.
Nickel?
I'm sorry, but Matt just got his tail caught in the headphones over there.
Oops.
Drag them off the...
I may lose the dogs in the workplace argument with you.
I think you might.
Anyway, why don't you have the kids pay a dime, pay a nickel to instill in them that there is, in fact, no such thing as a free lunch? Isn't that nice? He even suggested these disadvantaged kids sweep the floor of the cafeteria as payment for their meals.
Oh, Lord.
That's like that Newt Gingrich show.
Kingston?
Yeah.
He's like the dumbest guy ever.
Yeah. No, that would be Blake Farenthold.
Yeah. By the way, they make a good point in this article. Even that rankles, since poor children aren't responsible for their poverty and have no greater need for responsibility lessons than their wealthier peers. Indeed, if one Texas judge is to be believed, the scourge of affluenza means rich kids are the proper targets for these measures. Here's the truth. What's shocking about Jack Kingston's statement isn't that he said it, but it's not out of pace with the GOP of 2013. For too many Republicans behind closed doors and otherwise, the poor aren't people with interests worth respecting their targets for moralizing and disadvantaging. Wasn't that nice? Yes, you can sweep the floor for as
I
a moral
remember he
lesson.
Was on Bill Maher once, and they had the former Canadian Prime Minister on there. Yeah. He was saying, well, you believe that, so you think penicillin still works after all,
right.
All these years. Well, they didn't evolve. They mutated. They adapted. They're just trying to find some synonym that didn't involve evolution.
Right. Right. Dan in Omaha, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Dan.
Hi, how are you?
Good, go ahead.
You're worrying about your labia, but you really need to worry about your uterus.
Oh.
I was a nurse for 20 years, and some of that time I took care of people on older people.
Oh, dear.
And
like me, you mean?
I see dementia-possessed ladies that were trying to stuff the uterus back up into the hoo-ha.
Excuse me?
And you see a lot of that because of the... When you have babies, or even not...
Stephanie's never had a baby in her uterus.
Up, collapses. It gets weak, and so it has only one way to go. So worry about that. Don't worry about your labia.
So okay. So I'm one of the elderly ladies that you used to take care of that I have
yet,
to... Right.
Not yet.
Oh, I see.
Geez, I'm a lot older than you. No,
okay.
No.
All right. What causes your uterus to collapse?
Childbirth.
Age, gravity. Oh. Gravity is the worst part of it. And then again, if you have multiple births, that stretches out.
Stephanie
that,
has that. Nothing to worry about
yeah.
in that territory.
You know what? I
okay, so I don't know. What are you doing? Blowing air up there?
All right.
Well, when you gave birth to Max and Fred, there was some damage.
I think it's best that the show's over now.
Wow.
That was weird.
I'm so...
Wow.
Grossed out.
Not once. I met a gynecologist once at a party, and I said, oh, what's you know, your specialty? And she said, oh, I specialize in vaginal deformities.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, well, that is not party conversation.
You have to choose to go into that. Yeah, she chose that?
Right? It's like balloon animals. Who knew what was that?
I know what I want to do. Vaginal deformities. What? That's
okay.
A thing?
All right. Are we canceled yet from Free Speech TV? I bet you we will be. Are we still on the ton? Okay. As far as we know, if I don't die of the flu, I'll be back tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show. See you then.